You might like to open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. And in our studies, we are to be reminded, if you would, in the light of the everything going on that has gone on, that will be going on. And in the light of all of that, we share together that God, in his wonderful grace, goes and is a great, holy, happy, heavenly God. And in the process, he is a consuming fire. Fire consumes. Everything that can be consumed is taken up by fire, and there's nothing left except that which can survive fire. And among other things, we share together the gold and the silver and the precious stones and the gold with the potatoes and everything on a Sunday. Now, in the light of that, keep in mind that we share together in the process that God is a consuming fire, that he is an awesome God. So when a believer comes to know the Lord as their Savior, they are wonderfully secure and saved. That's who they are. And they're saved because of him. They're safe because of him. Saved, saved, safe, and secure because of him. And then we illustrated that a little bit as we went and looked at Moses, and Moses met him at the burning bush. God met Moses at the burning bush, and that prepared him to be able to go up and down on Mount Sinai before all of those 2.5 million people go up and down the mountain into the fire, and often for a long time. And he was able to do that with no food, no water, just God kept him. He came in and out of the fire like he went in. We shared that together with the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they went and were thrown into a super, super hot furnace. And God kept them. And they walked out of that furnace. And they walked out of that furnace with not a hair of their head singed, not the smell of smoke or fire. Their clothes, they were fully clothed with hats and everything, and they came out like they went in. God, what are you saying to us? God said, listen, when you trust me, I want you to know I'm right there. So that's why, we're saved, and we're safely saved. You can't be saved without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ finding home, residence in your heart. So therefore we looked at that, and God, so in order to be able to enjoy being saved, in order to practice being saved, we share together, God has to help us. So God is a consuming fire, and God has to help us learn. So in the process, God tests us and helps us to exercise a relationship so that our relationship to God is one that is fully trusting God and enjoying, exercising, and experiencing the benefits. So God, that's what you do. Now God, saved, is the average believer enjoying, experiencing? No, they aren't doing that at all. They could, but obviously they don't. All you got to do is travel and think and read and everything. Obviously that's not happening. And the reason is they are not going to go through the test. The test is a fire test. So here in picking up speed here, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, and we share together of the wonderful things that in the will of God, rejoicing forevermore, verse 16, and praying all the time, communicating with God, always in fellowship, and in everything giving thanks because God is in you, doing that which he wants and wonders, whatever he wants to do, and you're trusting him, and therefore you travel down the corridor of time, and you're going to have what? The benefits. Just like Moses, just like the three friends of Daniel, you're going to have the benefits because you understand how to get the benefits. They have to let God be God. Now, on God's terms. So now, therefore, and we share together in verse 19, quench not, don't quench the Spirit of God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here's the quenching, the extinguishing is the word, to extinguish a fire that's smoldering, that's almost dead. Don't turn the fire off. Get the fire going. The fire isn't burning. Just think of a fire, and the flames are there, the ashes are there, and down in the ashes, you'll see that in a bit here, down in the ashes, there's a smoke, but you can't see any fire. Oh, there's fire, but it's not there. You couldn't do much with it, and it's in danger of going out. That's the word, it's a command. Don't quench, don't extinguish the fire. Don't extinguish the fire in your heart. Where did the fire get into my heart? When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's the God of fire. Why am I saved? Because he's the God of fire. He's wonderfully holy. Holy and heavenly. And God, so when we receive the Lord as our Savior, we have an awesome, awesome relationship to experience and to work out. And that's for real and right. Now, in light of verse 19, quench not the Spirit of God, etc. So we don't want to get into the place where we're having that. And an easy way to catch that, church history-wise, to catch quenching. Quenching is one of the, and by the way, the Spirit of God does that. Yeah, we'll pick that up, I hope. Now, you don't have to turn there, Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 4. What did the church in Ephesus, the model church, church history, Revelation 2 and 3, all the way to where we are now, the end of the age. And in Revelation 2 and 4, the beginning, what was the beginning problem? They lost their love for God. Oh, they had the Bible, they had the doctrine, they had whatever. They could sit and sing the hymns or whatever, but they lost their love for God, lost the relationship. They lost that. And that is going to lead to where we are now, all through church history, to where we are now in Laodicea. And chapter 3 and verse 15, 16, 17. And then we know what? I would that thou wert hot or cold, but you're neither. And there is no middle ground. There is no middle. There is no halfway house. You're either in or out. You're either saved or you're not. And either you're going to enjoy being saved or you're not. So now, in the light of that, Revelation chapter 3, they have left God out of the picture. God isn't in the picture. They got a building, they got hymns, got everything, but no God. That's where we are now. And that's part of our national problem, let alone world problem. Because if the churches were right with God, we would not have the present conditions and the setting. The testimony, the saltiness would be there, like in the old days, more so than now. It's gone. And we're paying a price. We're going to pay because God said so. So now, having said that, quench not the Spirit of God. And keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me, please, over, and let's see if we have a little exercise, at least we'll start it. And go over with me, please, in the light of that. I'm going to get there so you'll see it. Over to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And I know you know these things. I'm just going to have you put your mental tag on them so you can take the steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and get there. Safely. So Deuteronomy, and in chapter 4, picking up, please, in thought. And in chapter 4, you're going to recall, as you know, Israel is given a wonderful assignment for all the nations of the world to look at them, to pay attention to the nation of Israel. So when we come to Deuteronomy in chapter 4, in verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I preach unto you, and so go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. And then verse 2, you know, don't add and don't subtract. We shared all that. Don't add and subtract to the word. Don't leave it alone. The recipe is fine. The words are fine. Believe them. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Hang on. Now, and therefore, you know, in verse 6 and 7, verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. This is what you're going to do. Now, what's the difference between all the other nations? Well, this Israel, this nation, is going to have a whole new criteria, agenda. They're going to go by God's word, not by Egypt. They know that. They've been there. They're going to go by God's word. And all of the nations are going to look at them and see that all the philosophies and the religions and the way they do things is all out there. But they're able to visualize, if when Israel's there, to see God and to see his saving grace and his wonderful presence. And how can Israel be in the presence of God? God, because God is gracious, and because of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. So now, here in verse 7, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is, in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments, so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? So that's what they're going to see. They're going to see Israel. They have been trained in Egypt, but now they're going to go, and they're going to work with God's wonderful word, and that's what they're going to be governed and guided by his word of God, in the word. All the world is the same. All the world is doing everything, but they're going to be governed and guided by God's word. Now, and so as you go from there, and just keep turning, remember, in Deuteronomy, last book before they cross the River Jordan, last chapter book here, and in chapter 4. We'll go to chapter 6 for time's sake. And if I can, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. That where are they going to be? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So here's the word. And what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to be so governed by the word that my family is going to be definitely influenced. Because of verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Wow. So if you lived in that house, and they were with it, these people know God. God is everywhere. God's in the living room. God's in the basement. God's in the bathroom. God's everywhere. God's everywhere. And they would be raised with a wonderful sense of God. What's that going to do? Over, if you would, chapter 8. And without doing it all, just verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way in which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove, put you to the test on trial, to know what was in thine heart, because after all, that's the issue, that's whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Why did God let all those things happen? Because he's going to help them. That's what he's going to do. He didn't let them happen because the system out there is doing whatever. No. It was irregardless of the system. God was going to help the believers to survive the fire, the test, and make it. So therefore, in verse 3 again, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that purpose he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's it. The book. Okay, hang on. That's what God said. So now, having said that, slide over to quickly over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy in chapter 32, picking up if I can. Oh, picking it up, you catch it in verse 12. 32 and verse 12. I got to get there myself. Hang on. You got it. Are you at 32? Good. It's the wrong place. try 31. If 31 doesn't work, we'll just go somewhere else. Deuteronomy chapter 31, staying on the same theme, same movement. Verse 12. Gather all the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why are they going to put them all in a big place, assembled together? Because that they may know, that they may bear, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, to observe to do all the words of this law. Result, verse 13. That the children, their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So you're going to go and have a unique relationship to God, and as you help them and educate them, then God is going to be at the forefront as Israel is a nation, and all the nations are going to look, and Israel is going to be one blessed nation. And just blessed. God keeps them. God keeps them. That's the testimony. That's his wonderful way of witnessing. Now, over to Psalm 138 again. In the light of his word. And in Psalm 138, picking up, please, if I may, oh, you catch it. David's going to tell us. I'll read verse 1 even. I will praise thee with my whole heart, not half a heart, not quarter of a heart. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods, all religious systems, all other priests. I'm going to look to God and honor him. I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship, verse 2, toward thy holy temple, and I will praise thy name for thy loving kindnesses and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You have exalted your word above all of your wonderful person. Now, how does he do that? Because he did it. He gave you his word, which I hope you have in your hand. The Bible. God put himself on a line, and you can know him by what he says. And the word, you can take it, rip it out, do whatever. But God took his word to honor his wonderful person, the invisible God. How are we going to touch him? How are we going to? Nothing. But God has put his word out the only book in all the world that tells about God, so there's never a question. Here we are looking, wow, and God did that. So God, you put your name on the line in thy word. Absolutely, that's important. We need to see it. The world doesn't care about it, but the believer had better care about it, because that's how God's getting, we can take parts of the Bible, we hang on to all the different things and do them, and we can do them and change and do whatever. And the word is written, and so therefore we're able to see and honor God's name in a most wonderful way. You know, without turning there, in 2 Timothy, well, do there, we've got to go over there anyway. 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, keeping in mind, what are you going to tell us, God? You know all these things. All I'm doing is trying to remind you of them and refresh your mind, so when we do the last thing here, it'll sit a little more comfortable. Now, so here's 2 Timothy 3. All scripture, Genesis to Revelation, don't add or subtract. All scripture is given by inspiration, God breathed. That's the word, each word is God breathed in the original languages. And is profitable. All scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that we're able to do a 24-hour day kind of living successfully, in a world that isn't even interested in us. Same as Israel was to do it, but they just didn't honor it. They didn't honor God's word. So therefore, having said that, and keeping in mind, you have to think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, that all the promises of God, A-L-L, all the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. My word, I gave him my word, but I don't believe him. Ah, that's the only way you can attack me, is tell me you don't like it or don't believe it. That's the only way you can go against God. If you believe him, that's what he's looking for. Are you going to believe me when I said something? Because I said it. I really did say it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over in 2 Peter, you're right nearby. And 2 Peter, if I can, picking up, please, in thought, in verse 19 even. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That's the prophetic word of God from Genesis to Revelation. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, when it is light, and the day star arise in your hearts. So when you have full light, then you need to keep the little light. Don't let the little light go out. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private, personal interpretation. So, what do you think it says? And what do you think it says? And what do you think it says? What do you think it says? No one has the right to do that. No one. God gave it in the language, clearly, grammar, everything. He gave it in the original language. It's him. It's his word. All scripture is inspired by God. So therefore, he says, don't play, don't add, don't subtract, don't play with this, which is what happens. Hang on. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For reason, the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man. People just didn't decide to say something like the Book of Mormon or something about God. No. The Quran or something. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, motivated, carried forward by the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God is where the Word came from. The Word of God is an awesome, awesome thing. So we have the Bible in our hand. So what do we know? Well, God, we don't want to add or subtract. Uh-huh. Now, Noah, did you believe? Noah believed. Noah believed and built the ark. 120 years he believed and did an impossible thing. He believed God. The world didn't, but Noah did. And Abraham believed God. He counted, looked at the stars and said, God, anyone that can make that many stars, you are something. And Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. And Abraham did that. And Moses believed God. Uh-huh. That's why you go up and down the mountain. Nothing to it. And David believed God. Yeah, the lion and the bear and the Goliaths and everything else. And then top it off, God said to him, 2 Samuel and that, I'm going to have a wonderful future for you. So in the millennium coming up, David has an awesome position in the millennium coming up. Wow. He believed God. He believed God. That's what he did. So here's the early church, and the early church believed God. That's what they did. They waited 10 days in Acts chapter 1. And on the day of Pentecost, God said, wait. They all stayed together and waited. And God did a wonderful thing for them on the day of Pentecost. That's what God did. Wow. God, you did that. I did. Over, if you would, please, to John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, picking up, if I may, and you will pick it up if I can. I just wanted to get you to pick up the flavor of it so you get it. God, what did you give to the believers, to the disciples, apostles, and then to us who have the Bible in front of us? What did you give to us? And in John 17 and verse 8, for I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So the word I gave them, that's in the God. If they're listening, there they are, listening in the upper room, listening. And God gave them his word, and they can't get it yet, but in Acts chapter 2 they will, but not yet. So now, having said that, over to verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they see not, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The world doesn't want you to know the word. Don't even go by the word. Don't go by the word. No, you don't have to do that. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy word, thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God, looking, uh-huh, and looking. And God, you're going to go, and if you kept going in Revelation, John, God, in turn, what all these things are written, John chapter 20 and 31, all these are written what? So that you can believe. Why are they all written? Why are we reading it? Believe it. It's God's way to tell you how to know him. He put himself on the line and gave it to you. And that's how you honor him. You play with the word, you're playing with your relationship to God. And the Spirit of God, I don't know how he's going to act in the person. I don't see a whole lot of activity out in the world that is really looking in these days, special days. I don't see them looking to God. In fact, I don't even hear it. And God, remember, we've said it 1,000 times in these days. God is the author and has allowed the virus. The God who's inside of you, if you're saved, is the God who has allowed it. And if you understand that, that's a big step, if you can ever get that. It's so simple, but you got to understand it. So then, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. It doesn't make sense. The author of it is in your heart. It's his body. Now, having that little bit, over to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, And you pick up, please, remember now the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and all of them, they all wanted to get some kind of thing, that see what Jesus could do, his works, his miracles, his healings, his feedings, and everything. And therefore, picking up directly in verse 28, 6 and 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? We'd like to be able to do like you do. Mm-hmm. Jesus answered them, verse 29, and said unto them, this is the work, singular. They wanted works, plural. He said, singular, singular, uh-huh. This is the work of God. What is that purpose? That you believe on him that whom he has sent. I want you to believe me. Believe my son. He is the word, John 1:14. He is the word, what? Become flesh. That's why you got your Bible. His word. It's about, think of it. You know all these things. Think of John, well, you're here, well, you're right here. Look at chapter 5. And picking up chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, Genesis to Revelation. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are they which testify, bear witness of me. So that's why we're reading, and that's why I'm trying to tell you, it's his word, and his word is above his name, because he put himself on the line, and people can say yes or no to God just like that. Wow. And rip it up, throw it in the basket, never read it. That's right. Wow. Don't believe it. Uh-huh. Now, therefore, sliding down, they wanted a sign, etc. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. God, Moses, manna, and then the Lord himself. Verse 23. For the bread of God is he which doth come down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Okay. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. So we'll give us this bread so that we can live forever. Verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Believest thou this? Do you believe? That's what I know. Well, you believe. I told you. What am I going to do? I told you to believe me. But how many? No, I just told you to believe me. I say what I say. I mean what I say. I said what I said. I mean it. It's all true. All real. Wonderfully, wonderfully real. Well, now, so here you're in chapter 6 still. Go to verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Not die. Remember he said that, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, do you believe you'll never die? Never die. But I'm going to die. That's true, you're going to die physically. You have to die physically because God doesn't want this body of flesh and blood. He's got a whole new one. Oh, God isn't going to do that. No, he isn't. No. No. Therefore, do you believe that? Why? No, I don't believe that. I don't know. I may die. If you get near me, I may die. That's me saying that. I couldn't say that before God as a spiritual believer. Because you couldn't do a thing except in God's will. And I can't catch anything except in God's will. And either God, you're God, or he isn't, and he is. And either we're going to believe him or we aren't. That's all. All the rest is of playing religious games, coming and going, and everyone does it. And that's why the thing out there is like it is. Now, so therefore, God, say it again to me. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So if you receive me as your Savior, John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Pretty easy. I got life. That isn't death. You were dead spiritually. God gave you life. He didn't give you death. You'll never die. That not yet. No. Now I understand we're going to die. We could die before we get out the door. No question. That isn't the issue at all in the will of God. Now, picking up just where you're there, where you have all of that little bit in your head, verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So if I'm feeding on the Word of God, I'm going to enjoy what? A living, real relationship to God. How can I read the Bible and believe it without having life? That's going to outwork itself in an awesome way. That's absolutely, absolutely. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, give it a quicken, make alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits how much? Nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words. We're reading them. They're pregnant. They're seeds. We could study for the next 1,000 years. And all we can do is keep opening the seed and letting it grow. And we haven't even started the Bible yet. It's endless. Truth upon truth, life, wonderful. They are spirit and life. The words are, they are. Wonderfully, wonderfully, spirit and life. Now, having said that, and I used the illustration somewhere recently in the process, here you have the Bible, God's Word in front of you. And if you can just use your imagination, if you like, and have the Bible, here's your Bible in front of you, most of you, and you got a Bible, and you're gonna, and mentally you can look to the left, and mentally look to the right, and then go left all the way to wherever left's gonna go, to Hartford or somewhere, all the way to Long Island, all the way to Florida, all the way to Canada. You got it? Looking out. That's right. That's the world I live in. And the world I live in is all over the place. Depends what part of history you're in, what part of how far they're all over the place. And who you're listening to. Who are you hearing? Well, I hear there's all kinds. There's good guys on both sides. And they're trying to, they got it. And you get stuck on one side. Get a big picture. But I don't have to get a big picture that I may not. I can't get it clear. They say this on this side. They say this on this side. And they are right, because these guys are just as good over here on this side. So don't say this is better. I mean, they're the same guys that are working at it. So here we are. Mm-hmm. Well, God, what do I do? I don't know this. I don't know this. I don't know. They don't even know yet. So, what do we do? What are we supposed to do on a 24-hour day, 7-day basis in living? We have God's Word. And we're to go by God's Word. The left is doing what it does. The right is doing what it does. And we're looking in God's Word. And that's what we're going by. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So where am I getting my instructions and my understanding? From that book in front of you, your Bible. What about your Bible? It's about God, who you're thinking of and talking to and reading his word. God. And I'm going by the Bible. I'm not going to get hung up on some stupid kinds of things out here that are nothing going to enslave. I get talked to people today, a couple of business people, and they're all fearing. That's no good. That's a wrong thing for God's people, to say the least. And that's what you're going to get. You don't want to do that. So you're looking to God's Word. And that's why you go by it. Well, I read the Bible once in a while. I go to church once in a while. You can do that. But at that rate, how well do you know the Bible? How well do you know God? You want to be able to get out of bed thanking God. You want to be able to go to bed thanking God. Get out of bed, go to bed, thank God. Thank God. Keep you from the flu, the mumps, the measles, scarlet fever, and the green and blue plague. That's what you're doing. And you're going to go. And that's right. And you have to go in the world. Where are you going to go? We're going to go left or sometime. I have to go right sometime. I have to go to the world. I live in the world. I work in the world. I breathe the world. That's right. Except that your life is hidden with Christ in God. And it either is or it ain't. Is that all right? It either is or it isn't. And if it is, you want to be wonderfully, wonderfully thankful. Don't try to figure it all out, because you may not have the answers. But you want to have that answer from that book, from God's Word, and you're looking to it. So I don't get hung up. So I'm not going to go left, I'm not going to go right. I'm going to go right down the corridor, looking to God and trusting God. I'm not going to get hung up on the left side. I don't want to get hung up on any side. I want to stay straight. And I understand, if I want to, you know what it says, over 1 Timothy, I think. First Timothy chapter 4. Again, you know. Just the trouble is we read and don't put anything together often. We just connect it. Don't practice it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines, teaching of the demons, devils, speaking the truth, hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God has God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So God, how far can this stupid system go? To the eating of food. To whatever. And the system's doing it, does it? And we have it. It says this, and fortunately when it says, this is a new thing that will help you feel better, and then it gives you 25 minutes of things that you could die from if you take it. So if you take it, you could die. But it will make you feel better. Wonderfully feel better. See? Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm trying to help you now. That's what that's pretty simple, eating and drinking, isn't it? And what are we supposed to do? Eat and drink to what? To the glory of God. You see? It's a whole other world. And we have to practice it. If we don't practice it, you got nothing. You're caught up in the, not you guys, but you know. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them for reason. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. A, you want to be straight in your own heart and clear in your own mind on what on earth you're supposed to be believing and looking to God for to keep you in the thick and thin of it. And if you are keeping safe and sound in your head and heart, then what? The end of verse 16, you can help anyone that wants to hear you. Because you're at least on the right page, in the right way, before God. That's what you're looking for. God, you got all of these wonderful words in your Bible, all these truths that are meant to be enjoyed and exercised in a most wonderful way. And God, we need to do it in a most wonderful way. And that's the simplest thing you can do. The Bible that you read in the morning or anywhere, the verse that you have to take in your something just to read when you get a break at work or school or whatever, you're at home, and you read a little verse just to keep you fresh. Keep you fresh. Keep being reminded. God, I'm going by your word. And then you do the best you can, as best you understand, and you do it. And you trust God in all of it. That's how you do it. That's what you do. If you do that, you're going to, what, fire? Aha. God said, listen, I am a consuming fire. So there's nothing going to come into your life that I don't want. And if I want it, you could go to the top of Mount Washington in a spacesuit, and you're going to get it. Do you understand? You aren't going to make it. You can even get a trip, pay one of those, a lot of money, and get ride in one of those rocket ships up and ride around out there in space for a few days. You can do that. But you know what? I wouldn't want to. I don't know if you get, I don't know where you go to emergency room out there myself. I don't know where you go out there. Well, God, what do you say? I want to help people. I don't help them by being stupid about it. I don't help them by being ignorant of the scriptures and by just giving you, well, I feel this way or I care. No. I want to be right. I want to be on target. And I want God's blessing. I want God's grace, God's mercy upon us. And we aren't going to get it playing games with this. We're going to get it by looking to God. And either we're going to get it wound up in our head, and there's going to be a lot of casualties, all of this, you know. This is a whole filtering process now. Wow. And if you don't hear just a biblical message, as nice as they are, no, someone better say us, tell us what we need to know. All of a sudden, it's nice to know Ezekiel 30, no. It's nice to know Ezekiel 40 about the millennium. But right now, you don't need to know about the millennium. You need to know about right now, and what do I need to understand in order to make it, don't you? I need to know biblically, understand correctly, so I can make it. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it. And God knows. The next part I got to quit, but Timothy, what are you going to say? What are you going to say to Timothy, Paul? And here Nero just had his big fire in Rome, you know, burned down a whole section of the city, 10 out of 14 districts, to build his castle and everything that he wanted to do, and doing all of those things. Now, what did you say? Here's Timothy 4 years later, and what do you say to Timothy, Paul? I want you to stir up the fire in your heart. Why? Because Timothy, here's your Bible, and you're resting on the Bible to hold you. Here's the Bible, and you're over here, the Bible's over here, and you're on this side, and you aren't resting on the Bible at all. And here's Timothy, a believer, dear believer. And here's Timothy in his heart, and the Bible, wonderful truths. He learned them from his mother and his grandmother and all of those things. What's happening? Well, the ashes. You just hardly see the fire. Now, what did you say to him, Paul? Get that fire going. How am I going to get the fire going? Go to the book and believe what you said you believed. And honor it. And God will do a wonderful thing. Get the fire back in your heart. Because the fire's out in too many places. It isn't even smoldering. There's no hope of getting fire. That doesn't mean it can't happen. It just isn't there. I gotta quit. I hope you got something. God's a consuming fire. It's a wonderful thing. And God loves you. And my job is to be a pest and go home. So what can I tell you? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to be, listen, I've been around a little while, a long time. I'm trying to tell you where it is and where it's going, and I'm trying to help you. And people could sit here for years and they never get past square one. They hear everything as they want to hear it. They translate it as they want to do it. They interpret it as they want to interpret it. And I never said half the things that they say, probably, if they checked it out. Just like on the news media. The news is horrible. The news media. Most of it. Do you understand that? So don't go by it. Don't go by the dumb news newspaper. You're going to miss out. You know. Go by the book. We'll pray. I realize the distance and everything. So remember the prayer. Remember the prisoners. Remember the each one of us. That God would help us with all your needs. So you've got them. I know you do. And the concerns you have and the things you're trying to get straight and work out, God knows all that. And you're learning to trust Him, I trust. But believe Him. That's what He said. Just why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe me when I say something? And honor me. Casting all your care upon me, because I care for you. Now what more do you want me to say, said God. I told you I care. I told you to trust me. No. Why don't you just do it? Why don't you just do it? Just believe me. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes. And God, the prayers and the concerns and the needs, not only of us, God, but our families, our friends, our enemies, for our country, our president, all the way all down, police, the firemen, God, we've got all kinds, God, it's, God, we can't answer for all of it. We can't even fix it, God. All we can do is try to stay in course and stay looking to you, that you can find a home in our heart and find the pleasure to be, so we don't draw back. If we draw back in unbelief, God, you have no pleasure, not from us, God. We need to love you with all our heart and soul, mind and strength. So God, you've got to help us. God, it's a wonderful thing. I don't want to get caught up. We don't want to get caught up in anything or anyone except yourself. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, drive carefully and God help you. God help us. Thank you.